Here's today's scripture. It comes from the 10th chapter of John. Yes, I'm preaching from John. Beginning with the 22nd verse. They were celebrating Hanukkah just in Jerusalem. It was winter time, and Jesus was strolling in the temple across Solomon's porch. The Jews began circling him. "How long are you going to keep us guessing? If you're the Messiah, then tell us." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, but you don't believe. Everything I have done has been authorized by my Creator. Actions that speak louder than words." I want you to listen to that verse again. Actions that speak louder than words. "You don't believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep recognize my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them real and eternal life. They are protected from the destroyer for good. No one can steal from out of my hand. The Creator who put them under my care is so much greater than the destroyer and thief. No one can ever get them away from God and I. And God and I are one heart and one mind." This is the word of God. Amen. All right. So, just for kicks, I'm sure you've heard this story before. And because it's out of John, I know that there's a certain way that this has been taught. So I want to hear somebody tell me what you just heard. And yes, I'm setting you up. But tell me what you heard in this scripture.
So, knowing that John is an apology, a literary apology for the divinity of Christ, is he laying out that part of what made Jesus divine was that he synced himself up totally to the Creator?
That is one way that gets preached, yes.
Okay.
But what else did you hear in there? I mean, I did repeat one verse.
Your actions speak louder than words.
Uh-huh. Which, by the way, I just want to make this theological statement for those folks who are listening that think that Paul is all that. Remember when Paul says that it's about grace and not works? He's directly contradicting Jesus. So it's no wonder... It is no wonder that right after the crucifixion and when they started, you know, after Paul's conversion and he started traveling around, it is no wonder that the likes of Peter, James, and the leaders in the church were following him around, because they were having trouble with the fact that he was making an ever so subtle change to the theology, to what Jesus actually taught. And we all know that over the years now, what has happened? That's exactly what's happened. It became the way of the church having some power and control. Because if I could control you emotionally, I've got you. But see, I can't control how you think and the work you do, amen? And when Jesus sits there and goes, "Hey, it's not your words that are important. It's what you do. That is important." Well, I would add that, sure. I would absolutely add that. But what else did you hear out of this?
Well, I hear both things. I hear do my will, right?
Okay.
So action speaking louder than words, but also the importance of having a relationship with God.
It stood out to me when he says that I do nothing not authorized. Everything I do is authorized by the Creator.
Okay.
My Father.
Okay. I want you to couple that, take that, because, folks, you know, a couple of weeks ago I told you that I no longer theologically find myself as a salvationist, which means when I say that, that means that I do not think that a Buddhist is not going to be with God. That means I don't think that a Hindu is not going to be okay with God. I also think that that means that we shouldn't be going out on the street corners and beating people up and asking them to
make a decision for Christ.
Amen. Okay?
Think like I do.
Huh?
Think like I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Pastor, you might be the only Bible they read today.
Well, yeah, right. So, with that said, that's why I want you to dig a little deeper on what you said, because the way this is what evangelists use, because they also say, the sheep hear my voice. It isn't not only that what Jesus is doing is authorized by God, and that he puts God's heart and his heart in the same place. But then he makes that statement that the sheep know my voice. And so I was just curious this morning when you heard that, if you just heard that like you always hear it, which is, oh, well, this is a message for Christians. If you thought that when Jesus made this statement, that he was being very specific to a particular set of believers. And, you know, we're 2,000 years after the fact at this point, so now the Christians have got it all twisted out. Well, of course he's the great shepherd. Because he's what? God. You know? And that was the whole point of John. But I'm here to tell you that you need to clean off that simplistic layer of skin. And here's why. Because I guarantee you what Jesus was telling us is that most of the problems that we have in our relationship with God is that we do not listen. You know, what's the old saying? I know you hear me, but are you listening? And to back this up, I found this wonderful illustration. This was Reverend Guy Kent, you know, my friend. And he wrote, sadly, it seems that we only hear, are you ready for this? What we want to hear. Is there any better explanation for Donald Trump? You know, is there any better explanation for what's going on in politics today? I mean, when we hear the statement, Black Lives Matter. We only hear what we want to hear. And for those people that don't agree with that, they're sitting over there going, ha, that's just them colored folk making all kinds of trouble, singling me out. And for the people that made that, that are making that statement, they're saying, no, no, hey, I actually matter. Somebody actually pay attention. I got this week, a person who used to come to the church who is no longer coming to the church because they decided I was not teaching the Word of God. We've been having a back and forth on Facebook because of the law about transgenders and the restrooms. And I got to tell you, at first I was really shocked at their terminology, because their terminology was such, how do you as a man want your niece or your nieces to be in a restroom where somebody comes in and they have tits and a penis? And you know, you know how I can be, right? But at least initially, I tried to answer that question or that statement. And I started by saying, you know, if somebody who is a male to female transgender and you're in the women's restroom and you discover that they have a penis, you're looking where you shouldn't be looking when you're in the restroom. Amen?
Do your business
alone. These restrooms are set up. They have stalls. I don't know about you, but when I go to the restroom, I go in and get out. Amen? Do what I got to do and get out. The person kept insisting that it was dangerous, that predators we're going to, if we allow, and notice what I'm saying here. There is nothing said about the female to male going into the men's restroom. And when I raised the question, okay, how about the male to female that you're trying to send into a men's room because they have a penis? What do you think is going to happen to them when they walk into that men's room? Well, then the argument becomes, well, you should know the Bible, Pastor. You know that switching genders is a perversion.
Oh.
Yep. That it is a sin. And I sent back a note saying, look, this is because you can't wrap your head around somebody that needs to switch genders. How dare you make that judgment? And when somebody else on the thread responded about this person being black, he had the convenient answer of saying, I don't have any choice about my skin color, but the person changing genders do. At which point, at this point in the conversation, I wrote back and said, really? You really think that that's what it's about? Here's the deal, and the reason that I brought that up. Listen to this line again. Sadly, it seems that we hear only what we want to hear. So if we've decided that we don't like somebody, when somebody says to you, you ought to think about forgiving them, we don't hear that. What we hear is somebody telling us what to do. When we go for job interview after job interview and we don't get the job, and somebody says to us, well, you might want to consider not going to that interview with alcohol on your breath. That's not what gets heard. What gets heard is you're judging me. You ought to practice safe sex. Pastor, you can't tell me what to do with my sex life. Well, nobody was telling you what to do. We were merely suggesting that you might want to take into account and take some responsibility for what you do. So Reverend Kent goes on. We do not take the time to hear Christ's voice. Maybe we do not really have a trusting relationship with Jesus as we think we do. Now, I thought about that line as he wrote that. And what I realized, folks, is here's what makes Jesus tough. Remember the woman that was going to get stoned? Right? Okay. She, by law of the day, was under, rightfully so by the law, rightfully so, could be executed. And they dragged her to Jesus to set a trap for him. Just like, you know, the conservatives do with the liberals, and just like the liberals do with the conservatives, they drag something in trying to set the other one up. And when they got that woman in front of her, Jesus never mentioned her guilt. He never asked her one question. Remember? He did not say, hey, woman, did you do what you're being accused of? Nor did he make a judgment and say, hey, lady, what are you doing out there? You know these people are going to stone you because they're that conservative. So why are you doing that? He didn't say any of that. What he said was, if you want to kill her, the first one that throws a stone has got to have a clean slate. do not need any more scripture or an argument to the state of Georgia when they execute people in this state at will. I don't need to hear, but there's others. No, this is what Jesus said, the one that you love to quote. If you are not without sin, you don't need to be killing anybody. Maybe we do not really have as trusting a relationship with Jesus as we think. For those that insist that we got to go out and save the world, that we got to go out and convert all these people to Christianity, maybe we are not trusting Jesus when he says, the way this is going to come down, folks, is I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. You following me here? It isn't about making people feel like crap. It is about taking people around you and lifting them up so that they can have their dignity restored. But maybe we don't trust our relationship with Jesus as much as we say that we do. How much time, here's a rhetorical question for you, how much time do you set aside for Jesus? How often do you ask Jesus what to do today and then shut up? Are you tuned into his voice? And people will sit there and go, okay, Pastor, where's his voice? Ministry of the church? We got people in jail. We got people that are hungry. We got people that cannot access mental health care. We got people that are living under bridges, for God's sakes. And we are more worried about building a damn bomb. What voice are you listening to? Two men were walking along a crowded sidewalk in the city, and suddenly one of the men remarked, "Listen to the lovely sound of that cricket." But the other man could not hear the cricket at all. He asked his friend, "How can you hear the sound of a cricket amid the roar of the traffic and the sounds of the city?" And the first man, who was a zoologist, had trained himself to hear the sounds of nature. He didn't explain to his friend how he could hear the sound of the cricket. Instead, he reached into his pocket, pulled out a half-dollar coin, dropped it on the sidewalk, and watched intently as a dozen people began to look for the coin that they heard clanking among the sounds of the traffic in the city. He turned to his friend and said, We hear what we listen for. What are you listening for this morning? God bless you.